So welcome to episode 5 of Rebel Yell. Obviously, it hasn't been an extremely busy week, but we are still back. And ironically, for a weekend that had absolutely no games involved, there's all three of us now here to talk about games that never happened. So I am joined by Colm Cuddy and David Kent. And just if three people to talk about nothing wasn't enough, we will have Kieran Callan on from Dundalk very soon to talk about, obviously, the massive game this weekend, which sees City and Dundalk play for the first time since the President's Cup in the middle of February. So I suppose we won't spend long, because even though we don't have much to talk about, we do have plenty to talk about, but it might necessarily be what happened on the pitch. So, lads, first of all, how did you survive the snowpocalypse?
A lot of time indoors, which resulted in a lot of things.
Yeah, I forgot to get cans, I'm going to be honest, so I spent a lot of my time jumping into the snow.
So it was funny. I was listening to your predictions on last week's podcast, going, the games could be called off, and there I was driving through the middle of Bandon, which was like, you know, all the shelves were, there's no bread on any of the shelves, and you know, the place was just covered in snow. I was just thinking, like, how naive you all were, you know.
We record it on a Tuesday and it goes out on a Thursday, and on Tuesday it seemed fine because everyone was like, oh god, it's only the beast from the east, what damage could it do? And like, that's why me and Cud spent a solid half an hour going through each game and going, yeah, here's what will happen, and then just to be rendered completely pointless and irrelevant at about Wednesday 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Because it looked fine on Tuesday, because the sun was shining on Tuesday, and then all of a sudden, the apocalypse.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? I've never seen, like, I think the somebody said the last time a City game was actually properly postponed was like back in the early 90s. So it's so unusual to see a game actually properly postponed.
Yeah, summer football agents. Yeah, stop.
So we will move on with a bit of chat, move swiftly on with a bit of chat. Cork City have decided to scrap the singing section idea. Obviously, was pretty much a non-goer. I know you guys touched on it a bit last week. But do you think it makes the club a little bit more wary now, Dave, in terms of, you know, trying to get ask for feedback from the clubs, considering the kind of, I suppose, the reaction that they got when it went out online first?
I hope it doesn't, because at the end of it, like, after the bones of it all, the idea itself was open to feedback. That was the point of them putting a press release out. It was looking for open for feedback. It wasn't that they were bringing this in without consulting anyone. It was that they were asking for opinions. Obviously, the majority of them opinions are negative, and for reasons that everyone already knows at this stage, and everyone has their own opinion of it. I hope the club continue to ask the supporters to try and get a kind of feel for things and ideas that they're pushing through before going over the fans and going straight ahead. However, I think we all agree that it could have been dealt with a lot better last week. There was a couple of statements released in about 4 hours, so I hope the club have learned a lesson on that side of it as well, in terms of PR. But no, I don't think they'll be more wary. I actually hope they won't be more. I hope they're more open to it.
Yeah, I'd agree with Dave there. I think the second statement, really, as I said last week, really did, in my opinion, throw the commandos under the bus. But in fairness to them, it was a silly idea, and I don't think it was ever going to go through. So it's good that this has been scrapped, I think.
Yeah, I think it's probably for the best that it was scrapped. That's a pretty overwhelming feedback in terms of trying to charge people to sit in the shed. But at least, I suppose, from my hope, is that the club is still open to feedback, because given the fact that it's a supporters-run club, it really kind of should survive, and the fan should be the first person it should be asking. Granted, this one might have drawn a little bit of an over-the-top reaction. So I suppose we'll get you in on this, Kieran, because every week we have a rebel referendum, and every week I struggle to say that. This week we asked, do you think there should be a League of Ireland Under-21/Reserve League? Because obviously that had come up in the chat on Monday's Greatest League in the World podcast. I think Stephen Rice and Gary O'Neill were talking about it. 84% of you say yes. 16% of you say no. But I suppose for those of you saying no, Paul O'Mahony got in. At Paul O'Mahony 90 says the LOI First Division is a very good place for blooding young players. How do you feel about that, Ciarán, in terms of you know, like a reserve league or a potential reserve slash 21s league?
Well, we saw with the experiment that Shamrock Rovers had a couple of years ago where they blooded a reserve league, as a reserve team, sorry about that, into the First Division. And while in theory it looked great, in practice it didn't follow through. However, I would be in favour of having a reserve under 21 league, because you see now the development with the fact that the League of Ireland now has an under 13, under 15, under 17 and under 19 leagues. You need to see that there needs to be another step in progression, you know, beyond the under 19s, because not every player at the age of 19, 20 is going to be ready to walk into a first team. And it's just a natural progression. So I think if you have that next logical step, where you have an under 21 slash reserve league, yes, I would be very much in favour. However, just to kind of be the devil's advocate, you see in, you know, in leagues around Europe where they have their reserve squads playing in a lower division, where obviously they can't get promoted. Something like that could be fostered, that maybe in order to boost the first division, we could have a couple of reserve teams, albeit with the licensing criteria, etc., put in. You could have them put into the first division so that those players are getting regular, competitive, first-team style football, except they're playing at a lower division, and you could see the development of players. But Shamrock Rovers tried it. I think you need to have more teams doing it. A team, like if you've got Cork, and you've got Dundalk, and you've got Shamrock Rovers, and maybe a couple of other teams to kind of blood in teams into the first division, I think it could work. That's my personal opinion. I think it could work.
I'd agree with Ciarán there. I think there should be a natural progression. I'm not sure about a B league though, because we kind of saw what happened with the news talk. I don't even remember what the name of that was. Was it the A Championship or something?
A Championship. Yeah, that's right.
That didn't really work at all at the time, and it was just kind of ended up being a fair. So I don't agree with there being a reserve league, because we saw what happened with that. Although I do agree with another 21 league, maybe where you could blood in your reserves every now and then, like something like in England, where you can put in three senior players at a time, that it's someone just to get them back to fitness
league,
or something.
Isn't it?
The under 23 league, sorry. Something like that, where you can just blood in three senior players at a time just to get them back for fitness from injury or whatever. I just don't think a reserve league would work.
I would be against the idea of having a reserve league and an under 21 league, purely for the fact that I almost agree with Paul O'Mahony's point, is that the first division is there for that. We've seen Cork City send players on loan to Cove Ramblers, for example. We've seen St. Pat's loan some to Cavantini off the top of my head. Limerick have done it as well. If you're looking for players to go from 13s all the way to 21s and then have like no idea of what to play. Like, the under 21 league won't be a step, like there's still going to be a massive step between the top level of the Premier Division and the top level of the under 21 league. I mean, we've been really good for blooding in youngsters over the years. Gary Buckley's only 24 and it feels like he's been in the City side for the last 6 years. Like, and I think to have another, well, I suppose costs come into it as well. It's another league, it's another team for clubs to try and finance, travelling, etc., kits, licensing fees, entry fees. So that's another way to look at it. I just don't think, I think that's what, like, if we want to blood players in, blood 19, 20 year olds in, loan them out, or even like give, like sell them, like release them, let them go into the first or wherever they land on their feet, and then if, like, if they can prove themselves at that level, take them back in a couple of years, because that's just how the League of Ireland works.
But is it difficult when you're talking about, like, okay, now we're talking about another 13s league, so you get a guy in when he's 11 or 12 and you take him, you know, through your 13s, 15s, 17s, 19s teams, and then he's 20 or 19 or 20 and you're expecting him to go into your senior team? Is like, my point would be that if you're investing that much time and effort into a young player, to get them to a point where they're still not quite physically ready to enter a senior men's league, do you really want to be loaning them out then, or do you want to be releasing those players that you've spent that much time and money on, just so that they can hopefully get to the point where they might come back, because you've no control over how they're coached when you send them to other clubs or when you send them, you know, especially when you release them.
I think that's fair. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, go on ahead. No. I think you've got a point there, but you would kind of hope, and I'm not speaking on in relation to any club, but you would kind of hope that when a child comes in at 11 or 12, there is an agreement from the top down about how these players are going to play. You know, like I know that I'm just using an example, the Shamrock Rovers way or the Cork City way or the Dundalk way, that the whole way up they're designed and they're moulded and they're shaped and they're coached to play a certain type of football in relation to the ethos of the club. You would like to think that if you had those players either blooded into an under 21 league, or by the time that they, if they were allowed to play in the first division, either loaned out or part of a reserve team that's playing in the first division, at that stage they have to prove their mettle. And I think realistically, you know, Kevin, you are talking about investments and stuff, but the likelihood of a player coming in at 11 and still being with you by the time they're 20 is quite unlikely. You would be lucky to have maybe 4 to 5, because you know, things get in the way. And I know I've spoken, like I've seen this in my experience of being part of a GA club as well as a soccer club, that distractions come in at 15 and 16. They either don't want to play anymore, they want to play, try a different sport, education gets in the way. There's so many different things. So you're kind of hoping that out of the band of 20 kids that you get at 11, you're going to produce three at the max. And if you're able to produce three players that are able to fit into your first team to be blooded in, or playing in a reserve team where they gain experience, if you're able to produce that every couple of years, maybe every 1 year or every 2 years, you're going to have your first 11 within 4 or 5. You know, it's a developmental process. And I think that's the way we should be going, because I'm a very strong advocate, and I've said this before, that kids going off at 15 and 16 over to England should not happen anymore.
Agreed.
They should be staying in this country, getting their education. You see the links with UCC, with Cork City, you see the links with DKIT and Dundalk FC and all the... We really need to harness in on that. Stay here, get experience. If you're good enough at 16, 17, you're going to be even better at 21 with experience. Plus you have a college degree, plus you have, you know, your bits and pieces. Like, it's a no-brainer, but people have to be kind of coerced into that way of thinking, that just because you cross the ferry does not mean you make it.
But it's very hard to curb that, I think, Ciarán, that you know, it's very hard to say, oh look, this so-and-so is earning a lot of money in England, but you stay in Ireland and you get your college degree, and by the end of it you might be lucky enough to get into a League of Ireland team.
But the League of Ireland team, the viewpoint of going over to England, because you look at Shawnee. You know, Shawnee's a prime example. Shawnee came home after being in England. He's had two brilliant seasons at Cork, and now he's over at Preston. I think that way of thinking needs to be blooded in, that stay at home, get your education, play in the League of Ireland, and the chance will come to you. You know, because you have something that those, and I've seen academy games in England, they're soulless. There's no bite to them, you know, whereas if they go over and they're kind of, how to say, adult match ready, they're going to be more appealing to a manager, in my opinion.
I think you mentioned the Sean Maguire example. Yeah, Maguire came home and was good enough to go back over. But there are, like, for every Sean Maguire, there's a Kevin Toner. Kevin Toner, from my own club, I played football with him growing up. Like, didn't get his leaving certificate, as far as I'm aware. Went over, played, like, signed for Aston Villa, played in the Premier League, and then now he's fallen. Like, it's not, like... it is a fall from grace, really, if he's back in the League of Ireland. He's not, like, fair enough, he's still young. But then, like, there's another example, again, from my local, of Donald McDermott, who has been I mean, very talented footballer. But there was a time where, like, he was playing with Ramsbottom United after being released from, who was it, Rochdale. And, like, that was really the end of, like, he, from talking to him, he thought it was done. So, the links with the colleges, you mentioned UCC, you mentioned DKIT, Pats and Maynooth as well, obviously UCD, the club itself and the college teams. Like, we do, like, that needs to be the main marketing point for if we do have an under 21 league, is that, listen, get your education first, because, like, one in every 100 or so will make it.
Interesting stuff. We'll park the discussion. We're going to move it on, and we're going to talk about Soccer Republic. I think I saw a tweet. I'm sure RT put up some sort of wildlife documentary where a cheetah was like ravaging a poor deer or something. And somebody said, well, at least they have highlights of Limerick against Dundalk. there's some irate people out there, given the fact that there were games. Obviously, there was a full set of fixtures on Monday night, last Monday, the just before we just the snow set in. Which weren't covered on the show the following Monday. What did you make of this, lads? Did you think it was a strange one for RT to decide not to show it, or was it just the fact that they couldn't get into the studio themselves because it was so snowy?
I don't think so, because they did put it up on Twitter themselves. It's not as if they just left you high and dry without any football that week. They did put it up on Twitter and Facebook. I don't agree with that, to be honest. They just didn't leave people high and dry, really.
Here's my thing. We have the biggest game in the League of Ireland football on Friday night. We had cameras at... Like, RT did have cameras at all the games on Monday and Tuesday last week. Most of the snow is gone in Dublin by Sunday evening, yesterday morning. So the fact that we now have no hype on the major network on prime time for the biggest game in the League of Ireland season so far, that we're trying to get the league attractive... Like, to even show the highlights with no commentary or no, and like I had my piece on the Soccer Republic commentary in air quotes last week, and how it's shameful. But like, all I want, like, even a half an hour show on RTE, they didn't even have to fill out the full hour, just half an hour, goals, talk about them, preview the weekend's games. We do, like, we've a full set, with two full sets of fixtures now that we've had no preview, no look ahead to. And for a broadcaster that's supposedly like got nothing left after losing the rugby, to just blatantly ignore your domestic league, it really ground my gears.
I would agree with everything that's been said there. The really, like, I know that they showed the highlights, so to speak, on social media, but if they had the highlights on social media, they should have been able to put a highlights package together themselves.
Exactly.
That was worthy for TV. It's just very confusing that you're right with the fact that there is a massive match. Listen, we're in a 10-team league this year. Every week there's going to be a massive game. And the buzz that has been around the start of this season has been really, really good. I know there was problems with the lights in Drogheda, but the buzz around the League of Ireland this year is actually really good. There's great positivity. You know, Derry's got their new ground, Cork City defending champions. There's so much happening. And I don't know, and I just don't know why they're not hyping the living daylights out of this, because, as you said, they don't have the rugby contract anymore. There's a huge gap in the market where they could show live sport that people would sit down and watch. And I, you know, as you said, a 30-minute highlight package wouldn't have killed them.
But on the flip side of that, if they were as interested as people would like them to be, I'm pretty sure they would have been showing the game Friday as opposed to Air Sport.
That's because Air got in ahead of them.
It's got to do with, I think, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, to RTE's, to RTE's demise, so to speak. They have a fiduciary responsibility towards the syndicate shows that they have purchased, and they have to show those shows in the syndicate shows. However, Air Sport are a dedicated sports channel, so they can wipe their slate clean to put in a live broadcast. And it's brilliant, and I completely applaud it. I've great time for Air Sport. They've been brilliant for the League of Ireland as an alternative broadcaster. So RT would have done their bidding, and they would have chosen games, and literally Air Sport would have just gotten in ahead of them. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, good luck to them. But if RT are, you know, they've changed... I like the fact that they've changed their Soccer Republic back to 7 o'clock. That's brilliant, you know, because the graveyard slot was a disaster for it. You know, so I think they've done one thing right. So I think they really need to be more, now that they don't have the rugby anymore, they really should be more aggressive in showing League of Ireland games.
And I suppose you were talking about their obligation to show syndicated shows that they've bidded on. But surely there should be, you know, and you're not saying that there shouldn't, but there should surely then be an obligation to show Soccer Republic every Monday night, if you know what I mean, especially if you have the footage. I mean, you're talking about obligations. They have the obligation, if they want to cover the national team's matches, they have to produce a highlights program for League of Ireland, and therefore if the highlight footage is there from an entire set of games which took place in midweek, then that should be, I mean, especially when you've what, 4 midweek games or 5 midweek games this season, plus obviously now a refixed ring which goes on Monday night again next Monday night. Like, it's obviously the crowds are going to be down, which is an issue, but the fact that our broadcaster is showing on a Monday night, like next, when it comes to Monday week's Soccer Republic, will we have any of the highlights from next Monday's games, because it'll be a week later, so will they show that or will they just ignore it
completely? It's like usually when the games are on the day of the broadcast, they're okay. But the fact that now we're in the 7 p.m. slot, like, we know they won't. We know, I can tell you now that they won't, because Monday Night Soccer Republic, 7 o'clock, games at 8:15. So, obviously the week, the 19th, which is Monday week.
Yeah.
Meant to be showing the Cork Boroughs game that got called off by the snow. Like, they could if they really wanted to show that again. It's a bank holiday Monday. But, like, I'm saying, like, Friday evening, you say they have the contract, they still have the rugby contract of the under-20s. That's what they're showing on Friday instead of Dundalk and City Cuds. So, like, in that case, fair enough. But, like, we're not going to have highlights of the Sligo Rovers City game on television. We're not going to have highlights of the Cork City Rovers game on the television until a week after it happened. And even then, there's another set of Monday fixtures. So we're going to have, of the first 6 rounds of the league, we're going to be missing 3 from television.
Well, I mean, if RT were... if RT were smart, they would show the Cork Bows game. And then, with the fact that they're able to maybe hold out while the rendering packages from the other grounds, and then you could show the highlights of all the goals as part of the post-match coverage. That would be brilliant, you know, and it would entice a lot of people in to watch it. But as I said, I'm not in charge of RT or their production or anything like that. I know everything's up in the air with RT at the moment, so particularly with Ryan Nugent leaving. So you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, we do know that there will be a game this Friday night. It's a huge one, and that's the main reason why we have you on, Ciarán. City travel to Oriel Park for the second time this season. Obviously, an incredible turnaround in the second half in the President's Cup. Saw them come away 4-2 victories.
We only score when it's snowing.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be -2 up there on Friday, so let's hope for our sakes that it's snow free. But I suppose, Ciarán, I kind of want to come to you first, because we saw Dundalk in that game. We saw they looked really, really good in the first half, and then horrid in the second half. And obviously, you failed scoring your first 2 games, particularly against Bray. That was a particularly kind of disappointing one for you. It's been a strange season, because it's either been feast or famine for you thus far. So how have you kind of summed it up? Is it difficult to kind of get a sense of the team when you're so hot and cold?
I'm still trying to figure out a lot of aspects to this, because Dundalk, once again, and I'm not, you know, I know a lot of teams have had to do it this year, but we lost Patrick McElhenney and David McMillan. And like every other team in the country, if you had 2 players of that calibre, they're very hard to replace. There was also significant delays in Stephen Kenny being able to acquisition players because of the takeover. And he wasn't able to sign players until that kind of finally got across the line. Then we saw a flurry of signings kind of very late on. Those players came into pre-season quite late. They're still bedding in. And then the President's Cup game came along. And I have to say, you know, we looked really impressive in the first half. Like, it was the first time that I actually sat there at halftime and was confident in a Cork game, and it's the first time in a long time. And then the second half, there was just... I always say that it's moments in games that can completely tip the balance. Sean Hoare going off injured, Chris Shields going into centre-back, resulted in our defence not being covered as well as it should, and that resulted in just your players being able to free up. Now, listen, no one could have stopped Graham Cummins' last goal and Kieran Sadler's. There's no goalkeeper in the world would have stopped those two. There were two fantastic. And all credit to Cork City in a lot of respects, because they dug in, they fought back, and they were well deserved at the end of the day. Then comes the Bray game. The Bray game was the first time in a long time where I've left completely deflated at the full-time whistle. And then I go down to the tunnel and I hear the players. They were all struck with the flu. It was a miracle that we didn't lose that game, because the team were walking sick. That's just being honest with you. I had to cush an interview with Stephen Folan short because he actually couldn't talk because he was coughing so much. They reckon that they picked it up on the plane coming home from their pre-season camp in Spain. And then the Shamrock Rovers game, you go into that game, and I thought there was an improvement, but it was a game of very little chances. You know, Brandon Mealy hit the bar. Patrick Hoban, Sky kind of missed it just at the far post with a cross field shot. That was really it. You know, that they were the two big chances of those games. But this is the first. Then comes the Limerick result, and it was said by the players that if they scored early, there'd be no stopping them, and that's exactly what happened. And I think the first goal, as is always in these games against Cork City and Dundalk, is going to be crucial. And I think that Dundalk are back at full strength. The only player that they're missing this weekend is John Mountney. They have a full bill of health apart from that. I think it's going to be a lot tighter than it was in the President's Cup final. I think we're in for a real cracker. And it's the first time I'm really, really looking forward to it. Also, it's my birthday, so I hope that they give me a present.
just on that, actually, Kieran, do you think the influx of more foreign players into Dundalk has affected that at all? Because there has been four lads come in from...
Yeah, well, three really. You've got Marco Tagabajuni. I really hope I pronounced his name right.
Don't worry, we always pronounce them wrong anyway.
You've got Christian Adarjan, and you have got Carlos Chelavukas. And they're three very technically good players. They're kind. You can see why Stephen Kenny signed them, because they're technically very bright. I think out of the three of them, while I haven't seen an awful lot of him, Carlos Chelavukas looks to be an outstanding midfielder. Really, really good. Christian Adarjan is very good ball with the feet. He's a very good passer, good vision of the game. I don't think he's just quite used to the physicality of the League of Ireland yet, which I think you guys would have seen, particularly in the second half in the President's Cup. I think when Conor McCormick and the lads kind of got in on him, it kind of showed that he's just not used to the physicality yet. But you'll learn in time. And then Marco Tadabajuni, he's kind of a different type of striker. He's tall, he's physical, he's going to run down the flanks. He's very different to Patrick Hoban. Whereas Patrick Hoban likes to run through the middle, Marco will definitely will try and spread the defence as much as he can. So Stephen definitely has picked players with particular games in mind, and he'll deploy those players with games in mind.
But are you disappointed, Kieran, in terms of like, you knew that McElhenney was leaving, you knew that McMillan was leaving, you kind of knew that this, like, Vemeland, you knew that they were all going, and I know that you say there might be delays in terms of getting guys in, but surely having an entire off season to try and get your business done, and then kind of signing a rake of guys a week or two before the start of the season, does it show? Because I mean, obviously you struggled to replace Towell once he left, and there's no doubting that you guys have lost players, but I mean, in the same way that we lost Maguire, we struggled to replace him in last season, for the second part of last season, but we have now seemed to have managed to find a replacement. We lost John Dunleavy, a captain, we kind of replaced him. We lost Kevin O'Connor, we got in Shane Griffin. Stephen Kenny doesn't seem to be able to replace those kind of key players in the same way that John Caulfield kind of came out.
I would agree with that in some respects, but I think the one player that I always said that we never really replaced, and this is probably going to sound weird, but we never replaced Ronan Finn. Like, Ronan Finn, did an awful lot of work that not a lot of people saw. And particularly in games where you needed someone to roll up their sleeves and do kind of get the dirty work, he was the player that did that. And I think, particularly in that season when we were in Europe in the Europa League, as the year went on, he got progressively better and better. And his experience of playing in Europe and his experience of the League of Ireland really came to the fore. Last year, we never replaced him. And while we have players who are of a similar ilk as him, like in Robbie Benson, he's just not Ronan Finn. Whereas I think Carlos Chedevukas is the closest thing we've had to him. And that's being quite honest with you. So I think that was a gap in which we needed to kind of plug, so to speak. Listen, it's very difficult to replace players of McElhenney and McMillan's ilk. I think Hoban is going to do very, very well. He looked really sharp last week against Limerick. And Ronan Murray could be a player that could surprise a lot of people this season. He scored 13 goals in a relegated Galway. He could step up to the mark. It's going to be very interesting what kind of team he deploys. Now, John Caulfield has replaced, Seanie Maguire with Graham Cummins. I've been very impressed with Graham so far. He's been an excellent acquisition for you. Shane Griffin's very good. Like, you've bought, Cork City have signed well. But I think this is the first time in a long time where I've actually said, pound for pound, I think we're starting. I wouldn't say that we're a match for you yet, but we're getting there. We're closing the gap again.
On that point in particular, obviously 2014 to 2016, John Caulfield against Stephen Kenny was dominated by Stephen Kenny and Dundalk. And then there was a turning point at the 2016 FAI Cup final for Caulfield. Since that, it's been 11 of the last 12 unbeaten against Dundalk for Cork City. We've only lost once. We've won 9. So I know it is really early in the year, but as of next Tuesday, we're halfway through the first series of games. So you're already 4 points off us. 4 points doesn't seem like a lot, but from last season, City led the way, pillar to post. So if Dundalk are now heading into next Monday's game. So if you're going to Richmond Park 7 points behind and you still have your next three games, Pats, Waterford and Derry, that's three tricky fixtures as well. So is Kenny under a bit of pressure here to get a win against C to kind of end this kind of hoodoo that Caulfield has over him at the moment?
I wouldn't say he's the only one that's under pressure. I reckon the players are under pressure as well. The players have to step up. Look, there's only Kenny, in a lot of respect, Stephen, to his credit, he prepares these players, he trains them really well, he coaches them. The players, when they cross the line, the responsibility is up to them. It's not all Stephen. And what I think John Caulfield has done is that he has been very tactfully astute in how he prepares his players for these Dundalk games. He knows exactly what he's going up against, and so do Dundalk. They know what they're coming up against when they're playing Cork City. So I think Stephen and Vinny and the coaching staff at Dundalk really have to pull a rabbit out of the hat here, and they have to put something to Cork City that they might not expect. I think in a lot of respects that happened in the first half of President's Cup game. I don't think they were quite prepared for Ronan Murray and what he was capable of doing. And I think that something of that similar ilk will have to be done again, and hopefully that we don't capitulate in the second half.
But it's interesting you mentioned, obviously, Kenny and also the players. With new owners coming in, they've kind of talked the talk in terms of taking the title back off us, which is perfectly valid. But do you think there's added pressure now on the group in terms of managers, players, staff, in terms of turning things around because they have new owners and because they feel like they're probably under a little bit more pressure now?
There doesn't seem to be that kind of atmosphere around the place, if that makes sense. There doesn't seem to be I wasn't expecting whole sweeping. I think a lot of people had this expectancy there was going to be these whole sweeping changes when these new lads arrived in. The Diggers were going to come in, the away side was going to be demolished, the whole place was going to be brand spanking. That doesn't work. These lads are not like that. And I completely respect that they were completely upfront and honest from the get-go. We need to get the product right on the pitch before we get the structures off the pitch right. And that's exactly what they're, what these lads are doing. They want, they have a plan, they have a structure in place. I can't delve into it because I don't know, but I'm sure that they have a plan, a long-term plan in place on how they're going to get the product on the pitch right. I don't think after the first series of games they're going to start wheeling axes. I think they're going to allow to see, to play this out and see exactly what happens. I will say this, the change to full-time training and the morning training and the gym work and everything, I think that that has had a big effect on how Dundalk prepare for games, because while the first two games were very disappointing, you could see in the third game against Limerick how sharp and how fast and how quick they were off the ball. It seemed all of a sudden it just clicked. And forgive me, but Storm Emma came at the wrong time, because if they went up to Derry, I think they would have gotten a result in Derry. And that really would have really set the ball rolling coming up into this Friday.
So after all the talk, I suppose it boils down to predictions.
Oh God.
Colm, you'll give us yours in a second. But Dave, I'll start with you. You have gone for 2-1 Cork.
Yeah, but purely based off watching us first against Pats and then against Sligo. I would be very surprised if any defence can stop our front four when we have Kieran Sadlier, Barry McNamee, Carl Shepherd and Graham Cummins starting. The link-up play, particularly McNamee, like, defences can't afford to double-mark any player in that front four because it just leaves too much space. We saw already in Oriel a few weeks ago what happened. We saw against St. Pat's when we lost one of them, we still came out, dug out a 3-2 win. But even before that, like a 2-0, if we'd kept 11 men on the pitch against St. Pat's, that would have been a lot uglier for Inchicore. And then Sligo, we just blitzed them from first minute to 90. And like McNamee, just magnificent. So if Dundalk give them any of them a yard of space, I think it could be more than 2-1. But for now, I reckon probably score first, maybe get a second early on, Dundalk get a consolation.
Interesting. I'm going to go straight to Kieran now for his side of things.
I think this is the first time that Dundalk, first of all, have had a full strength squad this season. There's no, apart from John Mountney, which actually, I read a couple of tweets today that people were saying that he's no loss. Actually, he is. John Mountney is one of Kenny's go-to men. Defensively, very good, very, very, very sound. So he will be a loss on Friday. My head is telling me that it's going to be a draw. My heart is saying a win, of course, but my head is saying it's going to be a draw and a high scoring one of that. I think it's either going to be a 3-2 win to Dundalk or a 3-3 draw. It's going to be high scoring either way.
That is a bold, bold call from Kieran. Expecting at least 5 goals in the game. That's great. I've gone for quite a high-scoring one as well, but actually I've gone for City to score 3 and for it to finish 3-1. I think, obviously, I wasn't there at the President's Cup, so I'm just basically basing it on what I've seen of Cork City and what I've seen of Dundalk this season. And from what I'm seeing from City, it's just so... apart from maybe 20 minutes last Monday against Sligo, where just after Sligo scored, there was a little bit, City were a little bit under the cosh. You know, I haven't seen an 11 men Cork City really be put under an enormous amount of pressure. And anytime they generally are put under pressure, they're very good at counter-attacking. Counter-attack is where we kind of have really hurt Dundalk in the last couple of years. Because certainly in the first couple of seasons we found it very difficult to break you guys down, so now to have that opportunity to have that option to counter and to be very, very strong on the counter, I think is going to work in our favour, because I think we're faster, we're more able to get in behind your back line, and I can see that being very positive, and I can see this Friday being a very important game in terms of City's position in the league table and guarding that kind of top spot, and I think it will have a massive effect. This weekend could be enormous for us playing both yourselves and then Shamrock Rovers. So, Colm, you're last on the list.
Uncharacteristically, I'm going to go for a Cork City win. but it's not going to be
at all. Screwed. We're screwed.
Where did you get that prediction from?
Oh, no. Cautious puds. We've talked about this.
I'm going to go for a Cork City 1-0 win, Graham Cummins, because I think it's our first time going up to Oriel Park as champions, where they're going up now as the top boys as opposed to chasing the top boys. So I think it'll either make them or break them, but I'm going for a Cork City win because I think they have strong enough character to do win Friday.
So you're all telling me, lads, that I'm going to have a crap birthday. That's what you're telling me.
Sorry, Kieran.
Essentially, Kieran, yes. we'll get you a muffin in Cork when you come down, but sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can still have a nice birthday. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to not have a nice birthday because you lose. You can still go out and have a nice birthday, you know, especially if the snow arrives.
If the snow arrives, we're definitely winning. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, thank you for so much, Kieran, for joining us on Rebel Yell this week, and we'll definitely have you on later on as we catch up with the goings on with our rivals. Kieran is on Dundalk FM.
I'm on Dundalk FM on Friday, but I'm the as you know, lads, I'm the SSC Air Pussy League correspondent for Dundalk, so I have a busy Friday ahead of me.
Absolutely. So you can keep up with Kieran and Dundalk FM before the game, and then you can hear his reaction or his take on Friday night's game. Hopefully it will be one which will open with a Cork City win and a 7-point gap at the top of the table, or a 7-point gap between Cork City and Dundalk, should I say. But until then, Kieran, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you Friday. So, lads, that's our take on Dundalk and City. There are other games around the league, of course. We do have Bowes against Pats, Rovers against Derry, Sligo home to Waterford, and Limerick against Bray. We'll start at Rovers against Derry because I suppose Rovers are the other team that are kind of tipped to be challenging Cork City and Dundalk at the top of the table. Rovers going into it obviously on the back of a fairly enormous win themselves against Bray. Derry seem to be more missed and hit at the moment, but obviously I've played all their games away from home thus far. They travelled to Tala. Dave, you have this down as a 2-1 win for the...
Yeah, listen, Derry got some great results in Tala over the last year. Kenny Shields seems to have Bradley's number when it comes to away games. But I just think Rovers, off the back of that heavy win, and like Rovers also, Bradley also under pressure to get a victory to kind of hang on to our coattails for now. Derry, by all accounts, did not deserve the win against Bohemians last week on the Monday Tuesday night. So that was a scrappy L 1-0. I'd say Rovers 2-1 here.
Interesting, Colin.
Yeah, I am going to go with a Derry win. I think they're going to win 1-0, mainly because I think Derry, they, as Dave said, they didn't deserve to beat Bowes. I think they have the grit and determination to come out of Tala with a 1-0.
So Cuds has gone for Derry, Dave has gone for Rovers, I have also gone for Shamrock Rovers. I think they're going to come out in a 2-0 win. Derry just haven't been able to get their form together. Hopefully the move to the Brandywell might see them shoot up the table a little bit, but Rovers are off the back of a 6-0 drubbing of Bray. I think they're starting to get back into it, but contrary to my prediction of Bradley getting sacked later, which I still think could very well happen, I think Rovers will win on the night. I suppose there's other games going on as well. We'll quickly go over them because we have so many games with the Monday night games as well. Bowes versus Pats. Dave, you say 2-1. Colm says a 2-1 win for Pats. And I say 1-1, so we're pretty much split down the middle there. The other one is Sligo-Waterford. Dave says Waterford away win 2-1. Colm says 2-0 to Waterford, and I say 1-0 to Waterford as well. So none of us having much faith in Sligo. And the game at the bottom, which sees Limerick take on Bray, could be important when it comes to the relegation battle, even this early on. Dave and Colm are both going for a home win. Dave says 2-1. Cubs says 3-0 to Limerick, and I say it's going to be 2-2. I think it's going to be a high scoring draw between those two. Now, Monday night sees City return to Turner's Cross for what will be a busy week because we have obviously Friday, Monday, and then
Friday, Monday again.
On Friday against Limerick, which was been moved, and then Monday again, obviously. City playing Rovers at home. Both me and Dave have gone for big wins for City. I've gone for 3-0, and Dave, you've gone for
4-0. We like playing Rovers at home, and Rovers like talking themselves up, and Trevor Clark likes putting his finger to his mouth, and that's not a wise thing to do. Especially if we get the win on Oriel, I could see us walking through Rovers on Monday night. So 3-4, like if we get going, potentially 5.
Jesus.
Wow, big bold prediction there from Dave Cullum. Cautious Cods, are you
I'm not. I'm going to bring you back down to earth and say a 2-1 win for City.
Okay.
Because I don't think Rovers are the same side that they were even the last 2 years. Even with the introduction of Gary Bulger alone, I just think they're completely different sides. So I'm going to say 2-1 City.
Interesting, and I have said 3-0, so I think it's going to be pretty comfortable. Actually, I was thinking about the game we beat them a couple of years ago where Marky Sull scored 2, and that's kind of, I think it's going to go a bit like that. Right, so the other kind of bigger game is Dundalk. They are away to St. Patrick's Athletic. How do we see this one going, lads? Obviously, it all kind of depends on how Friday night goes in terms of Dundalk. But Pats gave us quite a scare the other day, and I think they might do the same to Dundalk. Dave, you think the same?
I'd say more of a scare than a shock. I think as we talked about, I think Dundalk lose on Friday, which means they're 7 points off, which means potentially 10 points off if they lose in Inchicore. And having seen Pats in Inchicore and having seen how they started so well against Bray Wanderers in the second round of games, I think Pats beat Dundalk. I think Pats win 2-1.
2-1 win for Pats. Colm, you have gone for, you've backed the
lead. I have. I think they're going to bounce back. If they do lose on Friday, I think they're going to bounce back. If they win on Friday, I think it could be a different story. But from what I predicted earlier, I think it's going to be 1-0 to Dundalk. That's what I said, isn't it? 1-0?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
1-0 to Dundalk. I've also gone for a win for Dundalk, 2-1. But I really wouldn't be surprised if Pats were to take points off the Lilywhites. Not just the Lilywhites, but plenty of other teams this season in terms of upsetting the apple cart at the top. The other games, Bray versus Sligo. Bray have a big weekend as well this weekend. First against Limerick and then against Sligo. Dave, you've gone for a 2-2 draw on that one. Colm, you've gone for a 1-0 win to Bray, and I've gone for a 1-1 draw. Derry against Limerick, lads. Nice to see Derry return back to the Brandywell, having had their game against Dundalk postponed last Friday.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's been a year and a half almost in the making, really. Like the year in Buncrana, and obviously everything that came with it, the tragic loss of Ryan McBride. So I think to have them back in the heart of Derry City is fantastic. I reckon they get off to a winning start as well, back in their home, 2-0 win. Limerick not up to much this year, so. Could be more of a
2-0. Yeah, I think the same. I think Derry are going to do much better than, was it 2-0 you said, Dave? 2-1?
Yeah, I said 2-0.
I think they're going to win 3-0 because I just think Limerick are not the side that they were the last few years. Losing Erie, Ogbeni, you know, they're two big losses alone. So I just think Derry are just going to have a triumphant return to the Brandywell.
Good stuff. I've gone for a 2-0 win to Derry in that one. I think it's just going to be it's going to be Derry's night, and I'm glad actually in a way that they're playing a team like Limerick where they have a good chance of getting off to a winning start, because there's nothing worse than coming back to a ground and being beaten for the first time. The other game is Waterford against Bohemians. That's quite an interesting one because Bohs are flying at the moment. They're both teams that are kind of the outside tips for Europa League places this year. Dave, you've gone for a comfortable Bohs win, whereas Colm, you've gone for a comfortable Waterford win. So plenty of discrepancy there between you two. And I've gone for a 1-1 then, obviously, because you know you need somebody to split them down the middle. So our running totals, if you haven't been figuring it out, basically a win and a correct result gives you 3 points, and anything else doesn't score you anything. I am top of the league at the moment. I correctly predicted Rovers and Dundalk as a 0-0 draw, and I also predicted Limerick and
Do you know
Bohs.
What? Colm, you've got. Do you know what? Just before you go any further, I think for the games that were postponed last week, I think we should all get 30 points.
I think we should all get 30 points except for Kev. I agree with you there. I think myself and Colm now lead on 33, and Kev is behind on -42.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Well, it's like a game of 2-1.
That's number one.
Right, so you can keep track of those for your those inconsequential scores for yourself, and while you do that, you could follow us on Twitter at @RRPresenters. Get on to us, Rebel Radio on Facebook. The username is Rebel Radio CCFC. It's also the same on Snapchat and our YouTube. Hopefully we'll have a bit of content going up over those over the next few weeks, and from here I will leave it to Dave to ask his closing question.
Does Toby Adeboyo Rowling wear boxers or briefs? I reckon he goes commando.
It's definitely briefs. He's a briefs man.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get him listening.
I can't tell.
A lot of footballers are kind of briefs.
I don't want to know how you know that. Like...
Yeah. You have been in the City dressing room, so you can confirm.
Kev, did you play in the cross at any time by any chance?
Thanks very much for joining us. This has been episode 5 of the second season of Rebel Yell. Do follow us on Twitter. We will have live coverage of City's home game against Rovers on Monday night. And you can keep up with us with that. Our thanks again to Kieran Callanan for joining us. You can catch up with him on Dundalk Radio FM on Friday, and also his match report on the SCR Tristy website on Friday after the game. And we'll be back obviously on Monday and then next week with the latest episode of Rebel Yell. But from here, from me, Kevin, Colum and Dave, it's goodbye from us.
Good show.
In our first Patreon special, I sat down with manager of the reigning Women's FAI Cup champions, Frank Kelleher, to discuss his ambitions ahead of the Women's National League season.
You try and be as empathetic as you can with everybody, with your staff and with all your players. There are times when you need to improve and that. You're not good at it all the time. But I definitely think having a role where you're caring for people in a job role helps you in a football role.
Find the interview by becoming a Patreon. Visit patreon.com/rebelradioccfc and click Become a Patron.